and
political activist, candidate for office, radio personality, and gentleman farmer. He played bass in
We'd like to welcome Nima Vidotti to the show.
He survived playing in the band Flipper. He quit the music business but was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's currently playing music for Kicks with members of the Foo Fighters, the Germs,
Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yep.
So Dave,
I'm hanging up the phone.
New Paul and said, "Hey, you should come down and jam with
This is Mr. Michael Dean. This is the redo of the Freedom Fiends going live from the designated free speech zone for credentialed media that exists in my living room. And on the other end of the wires, we have Mr. Davi Barker, the Shiny Badger. Are you with us, sir?
I'm here, and I've also declared my office a free speech zone.
Are you safe? Are you safe?
I'm safe. No tear gas or anything.
Are things good? No tear gas? All right.
I have not been ordered to disperse, although I'm alone, so that would be difficult.
Yeah, we were, you could guess what we're watching. What were we watching there, Davi?
We were watching the live feed of the Ferguson police ordering activists to disperse and ordering credentialed media into their pens.
Into their pens. Do you think anybody in the of the credentialed media see somebody from the non-credentialed media go into the credentialed media pen and point him out to the police and get him arrested?
What does credentialed media mean? I mean, I have a credential. I have press passes from a wide variety of organizations. In fact, I print press passes in case anybody wants one. I've looked into the law regarding press passes. There is no law regarding what is a legitimate press pass. The only sort of distinction is if you are a media organization and you want to get a police press pass, you have to get that from the police department. But they're usually shall issue departments for those sorts of things. I don't know what credentialed media means.
Well,
Everyone is a source of media.
Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein were talking about wanting to have the shield law, you know, the law that says that you don't have to give up your sources in most situations. They wanted that to only be extended to credentialed media, which I think would mean the mouthpieces of the state, MSLSD, CNN, Commie News Network, and faux news, farce, not farce.
In other news, one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto is control of communication and media.
You know, they want only legitimate media. It's like those Republicans who say there's, you know, legitimate rape, I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, describe more what you're seeing on the scene with these boots on the ground. Actually, I really want to credit the brave work of the Argus News Service, which is a probably non-credentialed media. It's a hip-hop internet radio station who at least the last two nights has had a guy out there up on the roof of a car live streaming the whole thing. And I saw
you saw a man with a rifle come and tell him to leave is what you saw.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw somebody drive down the street where they weren't letting cars go. They looked like they were lost, and someone ran out in the street with their arms up so they wouldn't get shot or to say, please don't shoot me, and then citizen directed traffic to get the guy to turn around. Because apparently he couldn't see because the bright lights the police were shining in his face. There were also police pointing rifles at him. So, yeah, man, it's is this a taste of the new normal? Is this the turnkey police state?
This isn't even groundbreaking. I mean, we saw this in Boston after the Boston bombing. We saw this at a lot of the Occupy movements a year or so ago. This is the way police are now in America. They've got military hardware. They've got anti-personnel or anti-police. They've got urban riot gear. This is normal now, pretty much. Whenever there's an altercation, this is how police are going to respond from now on.
There's an article on Fox yesterday talking about how the media attention of the fact that they're using military vehicles and military tactics and military dress and military mindset in Ferguson might affect policing nationwide. And I just thought, I have a prediction. I have a prediction is that a big fuss will be made out of all this. Ferguson will hire a few black police officers and people will still get shot there and everywhere else.
Yeah. I heard somebody actually refer to the police garb as riot gear plus. which I thought was interesting. It's like double speak. But, you know, they say one of the best things about being a libertarian is being able to say, I told you so. And one of the worst things about being a libertarian is being able to say, I told you so.
That's awesome. And, did you just make that up?
No, I think I made it up a while ago. But I do say that from time to time when these things come up, because I told you so. I've been talking about the police state. You've been talking about the police state. We've been called crazy for years, and it's you know, it's turnkey fascism right now. That all it takes is an executive order for this to be every town USA.
Yeah, all the time. And Fox News was making a big deal out of the fact that this was news, and this is a new thing, not just the shooting in Ferguson, but that it's news that police are using these military vehicles. And this has been happening for years. I mean, it's been after 9/11, there was an executive, I don't know if it was an executive order or part of the NDAA or part of the Patriot Act, but the Pentagon started giving surplus military gear that was coming back from the Middle East to local, tiny police stations. There are police stations in towns and sheriffs in towns that have a population of like 170, and they've got a tank with wheels, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember reporting on a local police department in a small town in Idaho using a drone to find wayward cattle.
That was about 3 years ago. I remember that. Where that was in North Dakota, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Where did you say?
I said, that sounds right. I remember covering it, though. That was the first instance of a domestic drone story that I'm aware of. And it was to find cows, you know, that had wandered off the pasture because they don't like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it was some property issue, too. Like somebody said, well, they're my cows now. They're on my property. And, you know, I think the reason that that was their first drone deployment was because it was apparently helping, you know, a rustic rural American who doesn't trust the government. So he and his friends might say, oh, maybe we should trust the government. I did notice that if you go to Fox News now, or at least earlier today when I went there, there were like 15 articles linked about Ferguson. And then below that, there was an article completely seemingly unrelated that said that was called Proof That Robots Are Your Friend.
What?
Yeah, it was about some robot that's come out that, like, you know, helps grandmothers remember to take their medicine or something like that. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I saw a broadcast with Rachel Maddow where she directly juxtaposed this with the Tea Party kind of riflemen that showed up at that ranch in Nevada like maybe 6 months ago, three months ago.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, here's the response when, you know, the arm, and this was like a liberal broadcast, you know. But here was the response when the activists are armed, and here's the response when they're not. And this sort of like liberal news broadcast was admitting that it makes a difference, although maybe not what they wanted to admit.
Yeah. And the robots that are your friends, if you didn't catch that, I'm saying they're saying drones are good.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives. Live from Casper, this is the Freedom Fiends. And on the other end of the tubes in Silicon Valley, just soaking in a big tub of capitalism and money and wealth creation, we have Dobby Barker.
I didn't get my tub of capitalism. When were the tubs of capitalism given out?
You like doing things for people that are too nice. Me too. Not saying capitalists are mean, just, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm working on this this Fiend Phone thing, trying to raise some money to pay a programmer. And, you know, I talked to a guy who's got a few million dollars and said, hey, you want to chip in on this? And he may still. But, you know, his first question was, why don't you get investors and sell it? And I'm like, well, because my target audience has no money, so I need to give it to them, basically. Yeah. So Don Pardo died. You know who that is?
I have. It sounds familiar.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night. He was the announcer
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, he was 96. There's actually a from about 5 years ago when he was
96.
Yeah, man.
Was it the same announcer for like the whole duration of the series?
38 season, man. Yep, 38 seasons he's done the whole show.
Wow.
Yeah, there's actually a. This is kind of funny and weird and sad. There's a 30 Rock, which is like a parody of behind the scenes at Saturday Night Live, where I don't know if they call him Don Pardo or something else similar, but it is Don Pardo. And there's an episode where they're having to cut budgets and they're like, yeah, well, we can start with the announcer. And they're like, but he's 90 years old. We can't fire him. Besides, ever since his stroke, he's not very good. And he's like, this is the life of
did that really happen?
I don't know if he had a stroke, but that happened in that show. There's also a thing in that show that's kind of weird. There's a running joke of smooth move, Ferguson, which I'm surprised nobody's brought up about Ferguson, but I guess it would sound mean.
There's I don't know who this guy is, but there's somebody famous who does the New York New Year's countdown from 10 to 1 who had a stroke and he kept his job and he literally had trouble counting down from 10.
Yeah.
Well, he got it backwards. I don't remember who that was, though.
Ronald Reagan was brain damaged and kept his job as president.
Nah, well, you know, that's not a very important job.
Yeah. It could be done without, you know, it could be done by your handlers and your puppet masters without you making an appearance. Wasn't FDR like his last of his four self-declared terms? Didn't he? First of all, he did four terms, right?
I have no idea.
I think he did four terms. I think he said, well, we're at war. We can't switch horses in midstream. I'm sticking. And he, you know, violated the Constitution and did four terms or changed the law, changed the Constitution or something so he could do four terms. And I think at the end of his last term, like the last year, you know, his last term, he was getting progressively worse after having polio. But he was getting to the point where he couldn't even read or, you know, like couldn't get out of bed. And I think his wife was signing his name to, you know, presidential documents fraudulently, or, you know, maybe she gave him power of attorney. I mean, that would work for family legal obligations, but I don't know how it works with the presidency. I think what works is if you get away with it. That's a pretty interesting question, actually.
Because if he dies, then it goes on to the vice president. But what if he just sort of like slowly drifts off into dementia?
Well, I think that if he's unconscious in a coma, it goes to the vice president. That's part of that amendment. I know that one of the presidents had heart surgery and they had to stop his heart for a few seconds. And he's technically dead at that point. So they had to transfer the presidency to the vice president for the duration of his operation.
Okay.
It's so magical.
Dick Cheney, he doesn't have a heart.
It's so magical and mystical. You know, they have to like keep the power flowing, the imaginary power.
Weird. Yeah. It's like a cup that has to pour over into the next cup. It can't ever be spilled.
Yep. So, it's kind of a bummer talking about Ferguson. I mean, it needs to be mentioned. And I think the real thing here isn't what's happening there. It's what's happening in the world to where, you know, your government employees who are supposed to be protecting and serving you now kind of look at everyone as the enemy all the time. And occasionally it shows, like with these protests in Ferguson.
I mean, they instituted a curfew.
They lifted the curfew for tonight and then seemed to impose one on the spot. That's what I was seeing. But it's kind of depressing. And we've been telling you for years. We already told you this for 5 years. Why do we need to bring it up? So we're going to talk about Teenage Mutant Hero Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
I sound like I had a stroke. All right. I'll be back. We'll be back. Freaking
all right.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah! This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brainworm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Broadcasting from beautiful, sunny downtown Burbank, California. This is the Freedom Fiends. Tipping our anarcho hats to Don Pardo, who passed at 96 years old. Don was the voice of the announcer of Saturday Night Live for the whole 38 seasons. And, you know, I'm kind of a... I like voice. I like recording voice. I like voiceover. I do some voiceover work. Never live on a famous show at night on TV, but you know, I don't really have heroes, but the people I look up to in what they do include voiceover people, and he's one of the great ones. The other one died. I should know his name, but don't. The guy who always did the movie trailers, In a World.
I remember when he died. You know, they're such uncelebrated figures, but everybody knows who they are.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
In a world.
They called him the voice.
Comic books Don are presented darker.
Don LaFontaine. LaFontaine. Don LaFontaine. Yeah, he died a few years ago. So, yeah, I tip my hat to Don Pardo, man. I like what he did. It's a cool gig. He started out as a ticket taker at the NBC Theater, seating people, and ended up, you know, being the voice. And that's...
He did his own satire, too.
Of what?
When people made fun of that voice, he was willing to do those voiceovers.
So was Don LaFontaine. Yeah, he died in 2008. But actually, that kind of trailer isn't made that much anymore. Actually, a lot of trailers don't even have voiceover anymore. They used to all have voiceover, like starting in the early mid-60s.
No, they just have a really loud soundtrack that sounds like a garbage truck.
That's what they have now.
Then it's like, you know, clips of things happening that you can't quite orient yourself to.
Yeah. I forget who it is, some satirist troupe from the UK who made this thing that was making fun of the Top of the Pops and how dumb pop music is. And they were talking about music becoming more minimal. And they had this one that was just like, it was just a bass. It was the hit, like the number one, supposedly the number one hit that week. And it was just a bass drum going boom, 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 boom. And then someone kind of rapping over it going, this is the song I made. 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 And I was like, that's catchier than a lot of pop tunes. I'd listen to that for
a whole generation right there.
I'd listen to that for a while. Yeah. So, speaking of what the kids like,
it's got words you can understand and a beat you can dance to.
And that's another guy who was practically a voiceover guy. What's his name? The
Fontaine?
No. The guy who said this is, and it's got a beat you can dance to. The guy who always counted down on New Year's Eve. It's Casey Kasem.
Okay.
Yeah, Casey Kasem. Who they parodied on The Simpsons too, and this is one I always like to parody because, you know, he did the top 10 countdown, and they go, and here's number 7 in our top 10 countdown. That was kind of his thing for 40 years or something. And there's one where the Simpsons are driving across, like, you know, middle America to go to Texas, and they turn on the radio and they're changing channels, and there's like no music on any of them. It's all talk radio, and it's like, you know, one channel says, and the 7 signs of evil were revealed in the book of Revelation. And they change the channel and it's like, and there were 7 signs revealed in the end times. And then they change it. And it's Casey Kasem's voice, probably doing his own voice, going, and now on our signs of evil countdown.
Signs of the end times countdown.
Here's our signs That's of a evil great countdown. Idea. Here's Vanessa Williams. Yeah, it's pretty funny. So you want to talk about, speaking of pop culture and the stupidifying of the world, you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, don't you?
Yeah, I'm in sort of a reminiscing phase. I haven't seen the new movie yet, but I've read a lot of really terrible reviews, and so I'm going back and reviewing old Ninja Turtles before I go and see the movie.
Yeah, I don't know much about this, but I'm going to have you talk about it because it's a nice unicorn chaser after after we're all headed towards a police state, and whoever's the next president could probably turn the key on it. And there's, I don't know much we can do about it except get out if you don't love the American police state. That should be a t-shirt that you should make. If you don't love the American police state, get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... you know, you talking about like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would be like if I wanted to talk for 20 minutes about the difference between, you know, gallium transistors and silicon transistors, which I could do if I could pronounce gallium right. It's actually something else. But yeah, I don't know anything about it except that they're named after some Italians. But go ahead. Start with the tyranny part of it.
Well, so I was just the right age for a children's Saturday morning cartoon when the 80s version of the Ninja Turtles was on. So I grew up with Shredder and Krag and the Ninja Turtles, you know, being trying to conquer Dimension X.
I don't know what that is.
Don't know what that is. So anyway, this is sort of classic Ninja Turtles. And one of the funny things is, and this sort of goes back to what you guys were talking about the other day about like Marilyn Manson and video games and things. A lot of parents were worried that... they were going to inspire kids to violence because they were buying ninja toys and they were buying ninja whatever. Like I dressed up as Ninja Turtles for Halloween and like brought my little plastic scythe to school and scared a bunch of teachers.
Plastic really scythe, had. Like what the Grim Reaper has?
No, scythes are Raphael's weapon, which is essentially just a dagger, but it's like a three-pronged dagger.
So for the uninitiated... who wish to remain uninitiated but want to know what you kids are into these days. as a father of a wonderful son like Davi, I have to keep up on all the latest trends. Now, so who do they battle and do they actually like use violence to save people?
So there's the four Ninja Turtles and they fight Shredder as their primary enemy and they're all ninjas. And it's sort of like G.I. Joe, where they just fire blasters at each other until somebody retreats. Like, nobody ever dies. Nobody's ever injured.
kind of like the police in Ferguson. Well, not all of what the police were doing in Ferguson. They're killing people and they're arresting people. But a lot of what they were doing was literally trying to, like, don't pass this line. Like, they had a yellow line, you know, police tape, and some guy passed it. And the cops started moving towards him, like, toward him, like they were going to shoot him. Like, you pass this line, you know? Where they're just, it's a bad analogy. So go back to the turtles. I just can't get that taste out of my mouth.
Right.
I hate the smell of tear gas at 4 a.m.
Yeah, for sure. So they actually legislated this in the UK, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were released in the UK as the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles because people were worried that ninja would was too violent of a word.
Kind of reminds me of how in that remake of or the re-release of E.T., they like digitally airbrushed all of the police and military at the end who all of their weapons into just radios. So instead of coming after him, trying to capture him with weapons, they were just speaking into walkie talkies, trying to capture
really?
Him. Yeah.
Like, were they pointing the radios at him?
I don't know. That's what our board op told me. I thought it was a different movie.
I have to go look up this clip.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you look at anything from the UK, it's all Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. And then you also had this happen in the U.S. when they made the second movie. They sort of there was all this upset from parents, and so they didn't use their weapons at all in the second movie. They like fight them with toys, or they use the environment as weapons instead of using their swords and their bows.
Yeah,
which is sort of weird. But you know, the new one. There's like all these complaints about the new one, like. For example, April O'Neil is the reporter in the original series, and she's sort of this like strong female character who is supposed to be kind of a role model. She's a whistleblower fundamentally. And in the new one, she's played by Megan Fox, and she's sort of like just there as eye candy. So that's kind of disappointing. but, you know, maybe it's an exquisite role. I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, she's also the sort of like... she's the female eye candy in Transformers, and people were sort of disappointed by that too. But then some of the criticisms of the new ones are of the new show is stupid. Like they say, yeah, Shredder is supposed to be this ancient Japanese samurai ninja whatever person with this like honor code. He wouldn't embrace this new technology as a weapon. I'm like, no, that's totally false. Like Shredder is constantly using energy weapons and interdimensional portals and, you know, shrink rays and grow rays and mutation whatever. I mean, Ninja Turtles is practically a sci-fi, so that criticism is silly.
Well, did you notice Batman, you know, the original Batman? Well, all of Batman. Batman never uses a gun, and he's anti-gun. You know, he saw his parents shot with a gun, and he blames the gun. He uses a lot of gun-like things, things that shoot hooks or rays or foam, yeah. But he never uses a gun, which is weird because it seems like a lot of crazy people who shoot people are inspired by the newer, darker superhero movies of Batman.
Well, it's because they can't buy all of those Batman toys. if there was a Batman grappling hook available at the gun store, I'm sure they would go with that.
Look at your email. I just sent you a picture of the before and after of the long guns that these police are holding, either shotguns or rifles, changed to walkie-talkies. But Spielberg...
Well, that's an assault rifle right there.
Spielberg changed it back in the 30-year anniversary Blu-ray. And he originally took the guns out. Sensitivity to criticism by parents groups who didn't like some of the language used and objected to the use of guns, period. Like these parents who want to like add more laws to make the world a perfect place and don't understand like that police have to be more armed and there have to be more of them to enforce these laws don't want police carrying guns. Like they want that hidden in their children's movies.
Have you ever seen the evidence that E.T. exists in the Star Wars world and therefore the Star Wars world exists in our world? Like there's all this sort of crossover between the Star Wars movies and then like cookies in the E.T. movie that suggest that they're in the same universe.
Cookies meaning things you find if you look hard enough.
Yeah, like things in the background that give it away,
like
right?
What? Like, no, like what?
So this goes for Indiana Jones, too. So if you look in the background, some of the hieroglyphs in Indiana Jones are of C-3PO and R2-D2. If you look in the Senate, one of the senators in the new Star Wars movies is an E.T.-type alien. So essentially the idea is that E.T. has sort of wandered so far away from the Star Wars universe that he's landed on this primitive planet that nobody's ever heard of. Right?
The Tatooine.
Oh, the Ewoks exist in both universes?
Huh. No, I don't spend much time on things like this, but it's fascinating to somebody. So keep going.
I mean, it's more likely that the directors were just reusing old props.
Yeah.
But I still think it's sort of a fun idea to think that E.T. is the sort of bridge between our world and the Star Wars universe.
I like it. I like it. More when we come back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, there's some Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And we're talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja ETs. So go ahead, Dobby.
So I want to just lay this out for you because I think this is a really cool theory. So in Star Wars, Yoda addresses the Senate in episode 1 or 2. And in that scene, you can see in the background, one of the senators and his little entourage are all the aliens from E.T. with the like long necks and the scrawny little bodies and the funny shaped head, right? Now, in the movie E.T., the original one, there's a few references to Star Wars made. So there's Elliot has toys and he has Greedo and Han Solo and he sort of shoots them at each other like he's playing make-believe. And then in the Halloween scene, there's a little kid dressed as E.T. or dressed as Yoda, and E.T. sort of recognizes him and perks up. And so the theory is that the reason that Yoda can fly, or sorry, the reason that E.T. can fly in the bicycle scene at the end of E.T. is because E.T. is a Jedi. And I just think that's a really cool theory.
Yeah.
That it's all one universe, that maybe even Elliot was a Jedi. Like maybe that's why E.T. recognizes him, was because he had the midichlorians or whatever. And that there is continuity between these two universes.
Huh. Yeah, I'm just still tripping on the thought that Spielberg was forced by parents groups to take guns out of the hands of cops in a movie. It's like what they
this is how freedom dies, Michael, by thunderous applause.
What did they do? Did they call 911 and say, "I just brought little Billy back from the E.T. movie and there were police with guns."
He was traumatized by the appearance of a rifle.
Yeah. I think they're going to go the other way and start arming the government. Well, they kind of already are. I was going to say, you know, making movies where the cops are all gooned out, driving Bearcats in riot gear plus and being heroic. And the only citizens with guns ever are bad guys. I mean, you're never going to see something like Red Dawn again, where, you know, a small group of trained civilian children save themselves from tyranny.
Yeah. Well, this is happening. Have you seen Let's Be Cops? It just came out, I think, maybe a week ago.
No, I don't go to see movies in theaters. I wait until they're in my room.
Yeah. So the plot in this one is two guys who are sort of losers have Halloween costumes that are so convincing that people think that they're real LAPD. And they like the reaction. Like, people obey them. Girls hit on them. Like, suddenly they don't feel like losers. And so they get a little carried away pretending to be cops to the point of actually going and like getting a police scanner and like trying to bust crimes and things like that. And it just escalates and escalates and escalates until they're the ones sort of busting the big crime boss. And I went to it because it looked from the trailer like they were spoofing the police, like it was going to be making fun of the sort of abuse of authority that police have. But it's sort of, the movie's ambiguous. But yeah, it's totally like by the end, all the cops are decked out in SWAT and they're like raiding this. The only thing the bad guy's accused of doing is laundering money, which is a bizarre crime anyway. But yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it was a movie about how great it is that cops are so well armed.
Well, how critical of cops did they get in it? I mean, they're always critical of cops, even in movies about cops in some way. Like, you know, Law and Order always has the occasional episode where there's a bad cop and he has to be taken out of, you know, of being a cop because he's giving them all a bad name, and it's never.
Yeah, there's a bad cop for sure. Well, there's like an inside turned cop or whatever. One of the lines that really kind of like, it shocked me, but like, if this is the way the culture is going, I think it's interesting. They're pitching a video game. One of the loser characters is a video game designer, and he's designing a game based on cops. And the big sort of, you know, video game CEO type that he's trying to pitch the idea to says, "I don't want to play a cop. I want to shoot a cop." I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
Like, they just made that as a joke in this movie.
There used to be a video game, like an old school, like arcade game that was kind of a cops and robbers game. I remember playing it at a truck stop when I was on tour with my band. And, you know, I don't know if you're a cop or a, you know, some kind of hero, but I accidentally shot one of the cops. And the game said, "What are you doing?" And then shut down, like game over, like you lost your quarter. Somebody called in Free Talk Live today and was saying that they needed to shoot, people needed to shoot cops. And Ian and Mark and Derek, you know, intelligently told him why he was wrong and then gave a speech on why if anyone in your organization is talking about shooting cops, you should get rid of them because they're either a government plant or they're going to be harmful to your organization anyway. And I'm thinking, like, you guys just hired a, you know, Wednesday show host that does that. It seemed very contradictory to me, but I didn't call in about that. I called in about with my wife about saying that we'd both be willing to have sex with each other if the other person was in a coma, and we wanted to get that on record. That was more important to us.
Makes sense.
Barack Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
This is Mr. Michael T. Meow. Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And I put my my tube preamp compressor limiter back on. I didn't really have time to fully mess with it, but I like it. Ooh, it just got a little crunchy there. Okay, so it sounds better, I think. I don't know. You can all tell me later. I'll listen to it tomorrow. I won't really listen to what anyone says. I'll just listen to what I think when I listen to it back. But this is the Freedom Fiends. One thing I want to say that was kind of funny is at the beginning of this show, I had a cable unplugged and we didn't go out for the first couple minutes. You know, that happens sometimes. Radio is a lot of wires, and sometimes they get disconnected and cats step on things. The cat ate my homework. The cat ate my free speech. And we don't go out live when we're supposed to. And GCN does something smart. They put on, you know, an old Fiends episode, which is a lot better than dead air. Because, you know, it's something that the Fiends would probably want to hear. They probably wouldn't want to hear dead air. And they always put on the same one. And it's the one with Nima Vidati and I, who's no longer on the show. And Nima and I, he left. He left to go have kids. He didn't get fired, if you're just tuning in for the first time. He's a good guy, and he went on to make babies. And oh, I want to explain the coma content comment at the end of the last episode. I did. What did you think?
I think that's worth explaining.
What did you think of my spiel there?
It was one of those things where it's like, it's so weird and it goes by so fast, it didn't register until we were already in the commercial. And so I didn't have time to ask what.
Yeah, I got in like 18 discrete thoughts in the last 30 seconds. And I thought it was pretty cool because I completed all of them. I was kind of racing against myself to see if I could do it. And I said something about having sex with my wife if she were in a coma. What it was today on Free Talk Live, they were discussing there is a state rep in Iowa who's been arrested, I think, for having sex with his wife who's in a coma because they say she can't consent. She's unconscious. And I don't really have any fantasies of like having sex with unconscious women or anything, but my wife and I were listening and she's like, that's absurd. And I was like, well, you know, you'd have to get it on record to possibly be legally binding. And we decided to call in Free Talk Live and put on record that either of us, the other one, had permission to have sex if the other one of us was in a coma, to have sex with us. Now, I probably wouldn't have a desire to execute this option, although it probably depends how long the person, you know, my wife would be in a coma. I don't even want to think of her being in a coma. We just thought it was something funny to do, and we do mean it. You know, we do. Basically, what it is either of us, and this is in writing in our living will, like either of us have full decision-making capacity if the other one of us is in a coma. So, you know, there was no space on the form to enter that, so we just called in and put it on the Free Talk Live archive. Do you have any follow-up questions?
So now it's on the golden floppy disk of redemption there in audio.
Yeah, it's on the golden The golden blockchain of Free Talk Live.
She's the vice fiend. If you're ever in a coma, she has full presidential authority.
Oh, I've showed her how to use all my gear. So, you know, if I ever get beat up by the police and I'm in a coma, she can get on here and talk to the world about it and do interviews and do the fiend show.
I mean, if anything, it's strange that it would need to come up. Like, what? Why is this a senator or something? Who is this that
state got rep
for this? State rep?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, but I get it. I mean, okay.
Oh, the weirdest part of it was like somebody had started an organization to like prosecute him, and it was called something like, you know, the organization to stop Bill Smith from having sex with unconscious women or something like that.
Bizarre. You know, there's this thing in sort of college, they have consent workshops where they teach men what consent means.
What's wrong with people?
If you go to college now, and one of the rules is if there's I don't know what the, you know, maybe it's a test or something, but there's supposed to be a level of drunk that a woman can be where she can no longer legally consent. And so I wonder if that applies to spouses as well.
Do you think you can legally vote if you're drunk? I'm not saying that it's a good, I'm not saying people should be able to, you know, drug people or get them really drunk and have sex with them where they wouldn't otherwise. But I don't think
people should vote anyway.
Yeah. I'm basically saying that what's wrong with people that those seminars are necessary, you know, and kind of the like the nannying of it to the point where, you know, you could probably get arrested for being drunk with someone who consented and wanted to get drunk. I don't even want to touch this topic, but they
want you to get verbal consent each step of the way. Like, I'm having an excellent time. Do you mind if I put my hand here? Like, why? Yes, I'm also having an excellent time.
That's
in fact,
rare. I would say just videotape all of it. So,
yeah, of course, because then that's actually probably, from a legal standpoint, your best protection.
Yeah. So really briefly getting back to where I was, and then we'll go on to other things like maybe this knife thing, this rape thing in England, the unintended consequences, or perhaps the intended consequences of outlawing guns in England. Yeah, I just wanted to say it's kind of funny that every time, you know, on the rare occasion that we have a malfunction and we can't do our show for any reason, you know, my internet's down, I unplugged something happened.
We get, you know, the ghost of Nima Vidotti back on the show.
The ghost of Nima Vidotti, yeah. We get Nima and I interviewing Chris Novoselic, which I'm fine with because I like Nima and because because it's Chris Novoselic.
It was a great episode.
The first, you know, the first part of the interview, the one that usually plays before we get things fixed, is him talking about how Kurt Cobain loved my band Bomb. And, you know, I that can't be played over and over to the world enough for me. I have no
It should
problem
be your ringtone.
It should be my ringtone. Yeah. But I think it was kind of funny, like, you know, now there's probably people who hear that and they're like, who's this guy Michael has on? I guess, well, he's interviewing this other guy, but who's this other co-host? I guess he didn't work
new
out.
New co-host.
Yeah. Oh, is there a new co-host? Yeah. But I'm looking forward to a day where I replace myself and the show can go on to where it's like, you know, yeah. Davi and Lucinda.
It'll be me and Lucinda Fien.
Yeah.
And no one will know who you are.
And someone will go like, who are these? Who's this Michael and Nima guy talking to the guy from Nirvana? I guess Lou and Davi couldn't make it tonight. Oh, well. That's my goal, man. My goal is not to be Don Pardo doing the same thing over and over and over when I'm 96 and die on stage with a microphone in my hand. I want to teach people to do this stuff and then go do something else. I mean, I want this show to go on forever and I want it to spawn 20 or 30 new shows, but yeah, man, I don't know. Although, you know, I think what I'd like to do is train people and build the show until I'm replaceable and the show goes on under the understanding that I can interrupt at any time. I'm like President Barack Obama, like the president of the United States literally now can interrupt every radio and TV show at once. Like that's something, you know, it's the emergency alert system, which replaced the emergency broadcast system. The emergency broadcast system just allowed them to play the beep and tell you a pre-recorded thing. But the emergency alert system allows the president to take over all of the media and probably all smartphones too, and deliver message like live talking and video.
You know what we could do? We could get you a live feed, sort of like this live stream we've been watching in Ferguson, and we could call it Fiendspan, and it could just follow you 24 hours a day. And then, like, when it's necessary, you could, like, inject the Fiendspan feed into whatever the emergency broadcast you wanted to over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it'd be kind of interesting, you know, if it actually got to the point of, like, a voting board of directors on the Freedom Fiends or something where, you know, like if I had a stroke and then became, you know, lost part of my speech and part of my brain and still really wanted to get on the show, like you, if you, it'd be interesting to see if you guys would have legal and moral rights to keep me off. Kind of like how they kicked Steve Jobs out of Apple, the company he founded.
Yeah. I mean, that does happen in corporations that once they're run democratically, the person who started them can be voted out.
Yep. Yep. I don't like democracy though. It's 51% tyrannizing me and not letting me on my show.
I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
The Ferguson feed is back up, by the way. It looks like we're looking at the credentialed media zone because it's a bunch of reporters standing around looking at their smartphones.
Reporters in pens. Looking at their smartphones. I'll pull
it's
it up.
It's the reporter petting zoo.
It's the reporter petting zoo. I think that might be the name of this episode. So I want to talk about what makes a hero, you know, because you were talking about the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. And I think the word hero is really, really overused. Like every once in a while you see something like, you know, hero 6-year-old dials 911 when his mother falls and slips. And I'm like, I think that the bar for what is a hero is a little higher than just doing what you should do. You know, mm-hmm. I think maybe they consider that kid heroic because most kids these days are not self-reliant enough or not educated enough with the way the world works to probably dial 911 in an emergency. Yeah. But, you know, I think a good definition of a hero is someone who risks their life or their freedom or their fortune for someone else selflessly, and especially if the person they're risking it for is someone they don't know. But it's, you know, I guess you could say it too if it's someone they know. But yeah, I really think you have to risk your life, your liberty, or your fortune.
You know, there's a really good definition in The Lucifer Effect by Philip Zimbardo, which is a book on the Stanford Prison Experiment. And that book, in the conclusion, he's calling for heroism. And the way he defines it is a person who does what's right and not what they're told.
Yeah, and they don't hire cops or military anymore that have any of that in them. They've bred that out.
No, in fact, they drum them out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a thing called the Oath Keepers, which is supposed to be cops and military who agree to abide by their oath that they take to defend the Constitution.
It's an interesting, I take an oath to abide by the oath I already took.
Yeah. Yeah. And, the Constitution, a lot of it is just setting up the framework for the government. I mean, it talks about, you know, how many representatives will there be for each state and how often the voting will be and what people vote on what things. But, I'd say if any of those cops were Oath Keepers at Ferguson tonight, they would have driven the cops out or tried, because they were trying to stop the First Amendment for sure.
Well, they were at least corralling the First Amendment into a petting zoo.
Into a petting zoo.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends First Amendment Petting Zoo. What does that mean? That's going to be the name of this episode, but what is the First Amendment or free speech petting zoo? First Amendment.
I like First Amendment free speech, either one. It's sort of a prediction in a way. Like, we already have free speech zones and we already have bureaucrats that hate being recorded. And so I imagine one day people will be herded into free speech zones and then patted down for their cameras. Yeah. So that's like a free speech petting zoo.
Yeah, well, we were talking about they were corralling the credentialed reporters.
The credentialed media is required to go into their designated zone.
Their pen. Yeah, credentialed media being the ones that are more likely to, paint the police in a heroic light.
Yeah, and you can see them on the Ferguson live feed right now. They're all sitting around looking at their smartphones, wasting their time. It's funny, this is a live feed of the Free Speech Petting Zoo, where you can watch people exercising their First Amendment right to be the media.
There's something in there's something in some sci-fi movie. It might be a recurring thing in a sci-fi movie from the 70s where it's the not too distant future at some point, and you can only see a tree in a museum. Can you think of what shows that would be?
I definitely remember reading a short story to that effect where that was what was going on. But that is a reoccurring theme throughout lots of sci-fi.
I can think of one. Soylent Green. In Soylent Green, there aren't any trees or nature anywhere. It's all like cities and concrete and starving people and masses of people and cops using big things that look like bear cats, but they have scoops on the front of them for crowd control to just like pick people up like garbage and push them around. And they have kind of the government kind of has a deal with people to deal with overpopulation in this society where if you want to kill you, if you want to die and take yourself out of being a problem for the government and the corporations, you can go to these centers where all of a sudden they'll treat you with dignity. They'll feed you a nice meal and they'll let you die peacefully and painfully with some kind of narcotic lethal injection while you listen to the music of your choice, like something soothing, if that's your choice, and and look at projections of nature, which doesn't exist anymore. Like pretty pictures of sunsets and wheat fields and forests and animals. Do you remember that?
I remember that movie, and then they like turn you into a McRib or something, right?
Yeah. Do you think that someday there will be museums where you can go see civil rights that used to exist?
I think that, It'll be just like those panoramas in the museum. Like, here's the ancient Egyptians and here's the cavemen and here's the brief experiment that this continent had with civil liberties.
Yeah. It's the First Amendment petting zoo. And they'll have like an area in the museum where you can go pretend to be a protester from the 20th century.
Yeah. They'll have reenactments. It'll be like a theme park.
It'll be like Civil War reenactors. Yeah.
Right. The Civil War will be a roller coaster. There was a movie in the 70s called Silent Running, and this was the first encounter I had with the last tree in the world motif. And it was a space station where this like NASA scientist was cultivating the last rainforest in existence and the government was trying to like pull his funding.
Somebody just sent me something. It's something that's on Facebook. It's Jay Haley. It's a thread about LRN and how great it is. And Jay Haley says, I used to listen to Bad Quaker podcast a lot, but he has turned into Michael Dean's Ed McMahon on the Freedom Fiends. He talked more than me in the last episode, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't done a Bad Quaker episode in a while,
though. He's done a few here and there. He's doing more interviews on other people's shows, though, and then puts it on his he's kind of semi-retired. He goes in and out of I'm done with this, it's too much, I don't like, and then like, you know, doesn't do an episode for a month and then he's going stir crazy, and his wife and I both tell him he needs to get back into it. That's kind of how
it's an artificial scarcity to increase the value. That's what it is.
yeah that's funny. Ed McMahon, how does he, so he was like the guy who died, what's his name?
He's like the sidekick.
Yeah. He's like the, who died? I don't even remember already. I was like lauding this
Fontaine?
Guy.
Fontaine?
No, today. Don Pardo. Oh. He's like the Don Pardo for, one of the Tonight shows, wasn't he? Ed McMahon. I think he just does I think he just does like, ads for insurance now or something. Doesn't he?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, don't be my Ed McMahon, man. Talk about things.
Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yep, there you go. F that guy. I'm not turning people into him. That guy's square. Ben talks. Jay Haley used to be cool.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, also known as Ben Stone's Johnny Carson. I guess Jay Haley said that that Ben Stone has become my Ed McMahon, which is kind of interesting timing, because right after someone sent me that, I got an email from someone else commenting on this weekend shows that said, Ben Stone should be on the show more often. I love how he spreads historical knowledge. That doesn't sound like he's an Ed McMahon. And Davi was talking about breaking the fourth wall. You said that the first show you saw that broke the fourth wall was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It happened all the time in the cartoon.
What is breaking the fourth wall for people who don't know?
So like in the end of an episode, the villain would get away. Like he would trip them up and he would escape narrowly at the end of a weird battle. And then one of the characters, Donatello or someone, would say, oh no, Shredder's getting away. And then Raphael would say, we're in our 20th episode. You haven't figured out the pattern yet.
Yeah, it's kind of breaking the fourth wall. Originally, breaking the fourth wall meant in plays when an actor on the stage would address the audience.
Yeah, they did that too.
Yeah, and that's you're asking how that would be done, and it's done in movies a lot. You asked how it would be done in radio. I think we just heard a commercial that did that, because the commercial asked a question and then assumed you answered it and then addressed your answer to it.
Yeah, it asked me, what's the first thing you think about when you need an attorney? And then it paused and it says, that's right. How much is it going to cost?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. I'm glad I was right.
Which is kind of a combination between breaking the fourth wall and self-referential. There's also self-referential or meta, which I would say is more like what the Turtles were doing when they mentioned what episode it was.
Yeah. If you want one of the most meta or self-referential movies I've ever seen, check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Forever. It's a crossover between the 1980s cartoon and the 1990s cartoon. Like, there's a dimensional shift, and the four turtles from the 1980s are put into New York in the 1990s and they meet the other cartoon. And then they have to go back in time to the black and white comic book to rescue the four turtles from the black and white comic book.
Wow.
It's a very weird movie. But yeah, they essentially, like, there are multiple dimensions and each dimension is another version of the Ninja Turtles franchise.
Yeah, that stuff can be really cool, or it can also seem like overly clever and like, oh, like the writers are being self-congratulating. Like, I'm so clever.
I thought it was very cool. It did not come off as kitschy to me, even as an adult watching a kid's movie.
I would say I probably broke the fourth wall earlier when I was mentioning talking about, well, I'm not using my compressor preamp, but I'm going to hook it up for the next segment.
That's, yeah, I mean, in a sense, the whole Freedom Fiends Teaching Hospital thing is about breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, because we're trying to teach on radio how to do radio. And we, you know, one example is we point out our mistakes, where it's kind of a rule of radio. You don't ever point out your mistakes. We always point them out to teach people what we did and try to teach them how not to make the same mistakes. Because, you know, they say you learn from your mistakes, but it's a lot easier to learn from other people's mistakes.
We redeem our mistakes. That's what we do.
Yeah. So, yeah, what other things did it? Pee-wee's Playhouse did it.
You said Pee-wee's Playhouse and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers talked to the audience all, like,
but
directly.
That's kind of like saying a game show breaks the fourth wall. I mean, they're designed that way. It's not, I don't know.
Where were, you know, people wonder, people always know where they were when Kennedy was shot. I was in my mama's belly and you were, you know, 10 or 15 years from being born. But do you remember where you were, what you were doing in your life when you found out that Pee-wee had been arrested for watching a dirty movie and doing something in public? And how did you react to that?
Yeah, I remember exactly where I was. I was in the boys' restroom in Pomeroy Elementary School, and the kids, some of the boys in the restroom were sort of joking about it. And, like, none of us really understood the scandal. Like, we all wanted to joke about it because we all knew who Pee-wee Herman was. And, like, the pun was right there. Pee-wee Herman got caught with his pee-wee. Like, that was the
How
joke.
Old were you? What grade were you in?
This was, like, fifth grade for me.
This is so bizarre, you know, because I think of you and I as peers, mm-hmm. even though I'm older than you. I guess years difference mean less as you get older because, you know, I totally think of you as – one of my friends who's kind of like my age, you know, but I'm 50 and how old are you?
I'm 33.
Yeah. When you were in fifth grade when this happened, and I remember where I was when it happened, I was waking up from a heroin party with three naked women, which, you know, I'm not celebrating.
Unlikely
it.
For me at that age, but not impossible.
Oh, I was in seventh grade. No, I'm kidding. I was like, you know, 30 something, but, you know, those days are past. And, but yeah, man, it's so weird how age stretches, you know, when you're in fifth grade, like being in sixth grade seems like a major, leap
forward.
Well,
I've always, like, my whole life, I've hung out with people older than me. Like I've always said, I felt like my internal age was 48. And so, you know, I digested a lot of 60s and 70s media that other people in my generation didn't.
You do have a good understanding
hanging
of
out with. That's yeah, probably I spend one, a lot more time talking re- to people a generation that's
probably one
behind
reason,
me.
That's probably one reason we can talk so much and just rant about stuff off mic and on is because, you know, I'll talk about the, I don't know, the Batman TV series or something and you know it and, you know, things
oh,
from
yeah.
that era. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that is that my mother used to record television on VHS tapes and we had bookshelves full of old VHS tapes of old TV. And
wow.
So that was kind of what I did for entertainment when, like, modern television was boring.
Is she really into Netflix now that we have it?
No, they're more of a pirate family. So
she's into media.
She's definitely
it seems
media.
Like she was trying to create Netflix in your home.
Yeah, for sure. She is the type of person that wants to own all of her favorite movies. And my brother and my stepdad are the best at it. And they actually just swap whole hard drives full of movies.
Cool. Yeah. My mother died in, God, was it 2001, two? I should remember, but I don't remember the exact year, but I was, she was 75 and she's, doesn't know what it, she didn't know what a torrent was. She didn't live to see the existence of them, but she sent one email in her life. My dad sends emails all the time, but then he calls me because he can't find his drafts after he tries to send them.
No, I have come from a pretty tech-savvy family, and they've kept up, even to the point that there are some areas where my parents are ahead of me. So,
How are they ahead of you?
They understand the inner workings of a computer much better than I do. I'm sort of a user interface
person. To you, it's just a magical box.
It's just a magic box that brings you information comes out of.
And goes out on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about how Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and what the non-aggression principle is for anyone who's tuning in and doesn't know?
Sure. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with feet stinking? I hear it's a fungus.
Yeah. I think it's the social contract is just like congealed between his toes.
Right, it's right there, the socialist social contract.
Okay, let's talk about the non-aggression principle.
So, the non-aggression principle is the sort of the moral stance that the use of force to achieve your goals is inherently illegitimate, and that the only proper way to treat fellow human beings is on a voluntary basis. And that includes police and politicians and all of them who are pretty much entirely based on non-voluntary relationships.
I like this follow-up that someone sent us to Ben Stone and I bashing Teddy Roosevelt this week, because a lot of conservatives love Teddy Roosevelt because he was a man's man and liked to shoot bears and liked to box people who visited the White House. But this guy said, regarding Teddy Roosevelt, this guy named Helsingin wrote and said, I think Dan Carlin said it best in his Hardcore History podcast. He said that Teddy Roosevelt was a heavily armed, imperialistic, racist version of Peter Pan. But, on a bigger level, wasn't Teddy Roosevelt just a symptom of the trend in the Western world at the time? Yeah, that part of American history is kind of when progressivism started to creep in. And Teddy Roosevelt.
You know, everyone has their favorite politician who spends other people's money the way they like to see other people's money spent.
By punching people that come to their house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shooting.
You know, there's a funny thing about Barack Obama, though, is that even before he was elected, he knew what the government was. He said in an interview before he was elected to the Military Times that the government is a monopoly on violence. And he said it explicitly. And so,
it's kind of
that's what he wanted. He wanted a monopoly on violence.
There's a few phrases that libertarians use in a condescending way, and we're right to do so. And one is that a government is just a monopoly of violence. But I don't think most of us realize that term is created by, social scientists who work for world governments like the UN.
It's full disclosure on their part. That's what it is.
Yeah. Barack Obama saying that on TV, which you can go see on YouTube, that's not like the robot malfunctioning and speaking truth instead of what's on the teleprompter.
It's standard statecraft in university settings. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. So it was him speaking as an academic more than anything, but I just, the idea that phrase doesn't get under someone's skin when they hear it is like a different species than me.
Well, yeah, but I think that most people who accept that and decry libertarianism or any smaller government ideas, they believe that what libertarians want instead of a monopoly of violence is just widespread distributed violence. Which is not what we want.
No, not quite.
Yeah, which I will speak.
I mean, that's even what Ayn Rand thought about libertarians, was that she thought that if you had no state being a sort of ultimate use of force, that you would have gang violence in the streets and all this.
Why do people think she was a libertarian? She was an economic libertarian. She was an economic libertarian, but kind of in the same sense that Mr. Burns is a libertarian, which he's not. He doesn't want any government regulation because he wants to be able to maximize profits by dumping battery acid in a river.
I think it's a sort of a post hoc rewriting of history because the Libertarian Party has embraced Ayn Rand, and a lot of conservatives who, like, essentially libertarians and objectivists take similar political positions, and so it's easy to put them in the same place on the Nolan chart. But yeah, she hated libertarians. So
there's in that show Mad Men. Do you ever see that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the CEO of the advertising agency, the millionaire who owns the company and doesn't really do much, just kind of goes to work and sits in his office and goes on the expense account and entertains hookers. There's a recurring thing where he's constantly giving promising young executives a copy of Atlas Shrugged. And he's not libertarian.
I mean, that
he's,
was the thing for a while.
He's totally backing JFK. But he thinks it's a good business manual.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Meow meow. Oh, meow meow. Oh, meow meow. Meow meow. Meow meow.
Yeah, I'm not using my effects unit. I got tired of that thing. So, Davi, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, for the last 5 minutes, we're going to talk about something kind of serious, or at least, you know, kind of like we're not going to talk about what Pee Wee Herman did in the 90s. We're going to talk about the non-aggression principle. We're going to talk about not talking about the non-aggression principle or not talking about it in absolute terms.
We're going to erect a fourth wall.
We're going to erect a fourth wall. We're going to erect a free speech protection zone around the non-aggression principle. The non-aggression principle is basically the idea that you do not initiate aggression on people. I like to explain it as very simply, it's like the golden rule, except that you can't violate the golden rule by proxy. And a lot of people who believe in the golden rule violate it by proxy, you know, the golden rule being do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A lot of people will do that in their dealings with their neighbors, but then they'll do things like vote, you know, to increase the police state or increase the war on drugs or, you know, vote for one person over another because you have to vote for somebody. And if you don't, you're not a good American. And
it's the moment they say there should be a law because they understand that the government has this special status of being allowed to violate the golden rule.
Yeah. And most libertarians, you know, basically we generally say, and this is not to collectivize because this is kind of a universal description of what is being a libertarian is that you do not violate the non-aggression principle. You don't initiate aggression. And, you know, people can argue all day about how much you can commit reactive violence in self-defense. I mean, I definitely, you know, if someone came at myself or my loved one with a weapon, I would pull a weapon on them and try to stop them. I wouldn't, you know, and I would stop, I would shoot to stop, which means probably killing them. But I hope that'll never happen. I've trained so if it would happen, I could deal with it as well as, you know, I could. But I'm not one of these gun blog fantasy people who sit around waiting and hoping it'll happen. I don't feel that way.
People want to say what is your line in the sand for deadly force or something to that effect, and they want you to like codify the non-aggression principle into a whole spectrum of case scenarios. And I just think that's a mistake. I think at that point you're thinking like a legislator, you're trying to write the perfect law. And that's not what the non-aggression principle is. That's not how a free society would operate anyway.
Yeah, right? I think it's like religious scholars arguing for hours and days and weeks on end.
How much aggression fits on the head of a pin?
Yeah, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Yeah, it's you know, a really good example is when I was I'm 20 years sober. I went to AA for about, you know, 15 years of that and haven't been to a meeting in 5 or 6 years, but still pretty much practice all the principles of the 12 steps in my daily life. And I find them to be good principles. But I remember when I was about 7 years sober, a friend of mine who was also about the same amount of time sober relapsed hard and started like shooting heroin, smoking crack, ended up homeless within about 3 weeks. His girl, you know, fiance left him, lost his job, just wrecked his life instantly. And I was trying to 12-step him. I was trying to get him to go back to a meeting and maybe go into rehab or get clean on his own. And I was talking to him on the phone, and I'd done the 12 steps. I'd gone through them with a sponsor, done all the writing on them, done the amends, done the things that are in the 12 steps. And I had incorporated them into my daily life, where they were kind of, you know, my rules to live by before I knew the non-aggression principle. And I was talking to my, I never was really good at rattling them off. Like, I could show you how I could summarize each one and tell you how it's working in my life, but I was never good at memorizing them rotely and reciting them. And I was talking on the phone to my friend who was high as hell on crack and heroin, trying to get him to go to a meeting. And he was reciting not only the 12 steps word for word, but like pages from the book, the whole page word for word. Like, well, page 449 says, and I was thinking,
you're
like,
saying this is like the libertarian who can quote Rothbard.
Yeah. But you know,
wants to shoot a cop.
And doesn't really know how to even deal with life on life's terms or make a living or anything like that. Yeah, man. It's more about how you live your life than how you codify new laws into more laws. Good show, Davy Barker.
Worms. Yeah, for sure.
I'll break the fourth wall and say good show, despite some technical difficulties at the top of the show.
Right.
You'll be on tomorrow night.
So let's break out of this media pen and go live some real life. How does that sound?
Yep. I'll do that. And then you'll be on tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it, man.
For sure. Catch Worms. The sequel tomorrow.
The squeakquel.